This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:48 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Philip and Chen Li. We're starting the week with a roundup of some of the latest developments on COVID-19. Last Thursday, the Health Minister, Khairi Jamaluddin, announced that a second booster shot will be made available to senior citizens with high risk of comorbidities in the near future. This will be done on a voluntary basis, and it won't affect the vaccination status of those who opt not to take it.
The minister also appealed to the Malaysian public to take their first booster dose ahead of the Hari Raya festivities, citing that take-up rate was still 20% shy of the 90% target set by the Ministry of Health. Meanwhile, the COVID-19 vaccination program for kids, or PIKids, will end on May 15th, giving parents 1 month to get a free vaccine for children aged 12 and below. According to Code Blue reports, only 41% of the children's vaccine stock received by the government has been administered.
And although Malaysia and much of the world are in various stages of transitioning to endemicity, the emergence of new variant being called Omicron XE has had experts warning of the likelihood of a resurgence in infections in the coming weeks or months.
So for a better understanding of the current pandemic situation, we have on the line with us Dr. Vinod Balasubramaniam, Senior Lecturer and Co-Lead at the Jeffrey Chia School of Medicine and Health Sciences. Dr. Vinod, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. Now, daily infections in Malaysia have been on a downward trend since March. What accounts for the decrease in case numbers? Is the virus actually on decline in the country, or is it a function of people not reporting positive cases?
Hi guys, good morning. Thanks for having me again. Now, if you look, as the entire world enters the third year of our fight against this global coronavirus pandemic, right? Vaccination remains the most effective tool against infections and symptomatic illness. Right. So when it's layered on other public health mitigation tools, you know, if you look at such as testing, mask, vaccination is central to a larger strategy of control and management of COVID-19 if we were to go to endemicity. Right. And, you know, if you look at it, we have better immunity compared to the first 2 years. Our body is better prepared, recognizes the virus better despite the emergence of variants. And we now have preemptive capabilities, right, compared to before. And those who are now fully vaccinated, including booster, are now getting milder symptoms. And what happens? People are not bothered, you know, to report it because symptoms are extremely mild, you know, body aches. Some do not even have fever, right? So these may have contributed. Definitely, I agree that underreporting may have contributed.
Yeah. But, you know, Dr. Vinod, can you just turn attention to this new Omicron XE variant? We've seen it pop up in many countries like Japan, Australia and UK. What do we know about XE? And when should we expect it to reach our shores?
Definitely, you know, this is a very unique case because it's a recombinant variant. Why is it recombinant? Because it's comprised of genetic materials from two other strains. Number one, from the BA1, which is the original strain of Omicron, and BA2, another sub strain, which is known as Stealth Omicron, right? Now, there's really insufficient evidence to draw conclusions, right, about the growth advantage or other properties of this variant, right? We are still looking at it. If you look at recombinant variants, they are really, really unusual occurrence, right? Especially when there are several variants in circulation. And as with other kinds of variants, most of it will die off relatively quickly. It's not even designated as variant of concern. Right, so we are currently playing the waiting game to assess the full capabilities of this new variant. But early estimates indicate that it is 10% more transmissible, right, compared to any other strains that we have now. And, you know, it also means that due to its rapid transmission, it'll be sooner than later that it reaches our shores.
So the Health Ministry will administer a second booster dose to senior citizens with comorbidities. So what's the rationale for this move? And do you think it will eventually be extended to the rest of the population?
It remains to be seen. Now, let's look at science behind this. When a person gets vaccinated, right, they have surge in antibodies, which can prevent COVID-19 infection from taking hold, right? But over time, those antibodies, which is the first layer of defense, will start to wane, even with booster shots. The evidence indicates that the boost in antibodies is only temporary. But that does not mean a person is fully vulnerable to the coronavirus if they contact it again, right? The body still has memory cells that can recognize COVID-19 and start to produce more antibodies if the person gets infected. But, it's a big but, that process may not happen quickly enough to prevent an infection, right? For some people, to be able to prevent their symptoms from becoming so severe, that, you know, they wind up in hospitals, you know, they have, you know, they need ventilation, right? It may happen for the elderly, the immunocompromised, those who cannot get vaccines because they don't tend to mount a strong enough immune response. So this is actually the main reason why the recommendation for a second booster dose. Mm. And we should ask a question, right? Who is most vulnerable person in your immediate circle? Like if you have compromised immunity, if you live with someone else who does, it is extremely a good idea to get yourself a second booster dose. Mm. And eventually, depending on, you know, newer variants, it may, you know, be extended to the entire population in the future, of course.
Right. Okay. So no certainty on that yet. Dr. Vinod, the Ministry of Health has said this will be, this second booster dose will be on a voluntary basis. I'm wondering what your thoughts are about that, given that the first booster dose, the take-up rate is lower than what we've seen for the initial two shots. I mean, is a voluntary basis the best way to administer the second booster shot?
It's definitely a good way to start. You know, people tend to be, people don't want to follow the trend of, you know, there's something which is called vaccine fatigue, right? How long, how many shots are we going to get? You know, when is this going to end? So it's definitely a good idea to introduce it, you know, as optional first, right? Rather than implementing it, straight away, right? Because now it's moving towards more of a public intervention rather than government intervention. So again, ask yourselves this question, you know, who is compromised in your close circles? Right.
Yeah, and Dr. Vinod, let's just turn your attention to children, right? I'm just looking at it. First dose, 40%, two doses, only 12%. But even with those very low rates, May 15th is the date when Pitkin's program ends. I mean, are we kind of throwing our hands up in the air and saying, look, this can't reach the 70-80% target of the vaccination rates for the children? And with that in mind, is May 15th a realistic target then?
As of now, of course, the numbers don't look good. The parents should keep in mind, right, there's such thing as long COVID. Just because your children's symptoms when they contract COVID, you know, are not that serious, you know, sometimes they may be asymptomatic, does not mean that, you know, everything's fine. And does not also mean that children can be repetitively, infected with COVID-19. It's very, very important. Vaccine provides a platform, a safety platform, provides a barrier. You know, it's also proven that, you know, vaccines, to a large extent, prevents long COVID, right? It prevents the virus from lingering long enough. And as of, you know, we Malaysians, right, we tend to appreciate things when we have to pay. To a certain extent, I agree with the government setting a deadline, you know, after that you have to pay according to the market price. I think we are forced to, because, you know, there's just so many stocks available which are not used, you know, going to be put to waste, which others can use.
And Malaysia has received the first shipment of the antiviral COVID drug, Paxlovid, for the early treatment of COVID-19. How does this drug work and how can people get access to it?
Definitely. So Paxlovid, it's the latest weapon in our arsenal against COVID-19. Extremely, extremely potent, right? It's a combination of investigational antiviral from Pfizer, coupled with a low dose of ritonavir. It's an antiretroviral medication traditionally used to treat HIV. Now, this is unique, right? Unlike other antivirals, it does not target the spike, right? So what happens is that this treatment disrupts the replication of SARS-CoV-2 in the body by binding or by targeting the 3CL protease, extremely important enzyme, crucial to the virus function and replication. And according to, you know, initial data, it reduced the risk of COVID-19 associated hospitalization or death by 89% in those who received treatment within 3 days of symptom onset. This is great. This is really great. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, the first batch of 48,000 doses, I think we have it in Malaysia. And according to the DG, it's intended for COVID-19 treatment for all adults aged 18 and above. And of course, those who do not require oxygen therapy and are extremely high risk at developing severe symptoms. So we have it now in our hospitals.
Okay, so it's definitely one more, as you said, it's another ammunition that we have to tackle the virus if it infects people. Final question, Dr. Vinod, perhaps very quickly. I mean, you do see that we're in this transition to endemicity. What are your observations of how we're going through that process? And what advice would you give to the public amidst the holiday festivities that are taking place at the moment for the next month or so?
Now, COVID-19 can only be defined as endemic when it exists at a predictable level that does not require society-defining interventions. While we wish that level is zero, eliminating the disease is not feasible for any country with open borders, especially with variants, you know, with higher transmissibility rate. Now, ask one question again. Who is the most vulnerable person in your immediate circle? And do you love them, right? If you have someone who you know with compromised immunity, for example, someone who, you know, is elderly, who's immunocompromised, who have comorbidities, please continue to wear a mask. Please get your booster shot and please adhere to SOPs.
Dr. Vinod, thanks very much for speaking with us. That was Dr. Vinod Balasubramaniam, Senior Lecturer and Co-Lead at the Jeffrey Chia School of Medicine and Health Sciences, giving us just an overview of the different developments taking place regarding the COVID-19 pandemic, including the announcement of a second booster shot for high-risk senior citizens and the end of the PIC Kids program by May 15th.
Do you think memories have erased the pandemic? Do you think people are slowly forgetting all the measures needed to take? I get a sense that that's happening, you know, as we cross and visit stores. I even see some lax approach to mice, jutra and such, right?
Yeah.
Do you think our memories are just erasing the past very fast?
I think so. There's just been a lot of pent-up frustration, I suppose, over the restrictions of the past 2 years. And now that restrictions have been loosened, people are just really happy and relieved to go out and about. I guess it's easy to forget just the kinds of the havoc that COVID-19 can inflict and did inflict. You know, so many people lost their lives. I really think we need to be cognizant of that reality. COVID-19 can still kill.
Yes, and also about fatigue, because we have been practicing social distancing and all the SOPs for 2 years and coming to the third year. And when we say a third booster or second booster or third and fourth, you know, how many more boosters do we have to take? And, you know, is this going to be ongoing for how long, you know, forever?
Dr. Vinod mentioned that, right? The
exactly.
Vaccine fatigue, the fact that he agrees with the approach to make the second booster shot a voluntary approach. Because right now, as you mentioned, Chen Li, there is a lot of, I guess people are just wondering how much longer can we go. But again, because COVID-19 is a new illness, I think it is also understandable that we learn things along the way. And as far as how vaccines are effective or not, it's just something that scientists are learning as we go along. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.